With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting, confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. With the new Ace line, looking effortlessly sophisticated this fall is easy and comfortable. Stock up on crazy cozy sweatpants, shorts, and sweatshirts that elevate your style. They even have blazers, if you're lucky enough to grab one while they're in stock. Mack Weldon balances classic pieces with updated details to keep you looking sharp, not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made with the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MACK25.
This is the Adam Carriker Show on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. I want to give a shout out to a couple of good friends and partners of this show, Suizo Construction, where safety isn't just a policy, ladies and gentlemen, it is a promise. Suizo is hiring skilled craftsmen, laborers, concrete workers, and steel erectors who value quality work and a team that has your back on and off the job site. Apply at Suizo.com. 40 years strong in business. Suizo Construction. Again, that's S-C-H-W-I-S-O-W.com. Also, this fine program, proud to be partnered with Hamilton Telecommunications, bringing you the latest in quality technology and communication services since 1901. Learn more about their residential and business services at Hamilton Tel. .com. That's Hamilton, TEL.com. All right, we'll continue to work on the interview. We had one scheduled. We'll see if they answer the phone or not. But in the meantime, well, real quick, because I want to get to Matt Rhule's press conference. I have a feeling the interview may get pushed to the end of the show now. Do you feel better or worse about Nebraska beating Penn State, Nebraska beating Iowa?
Again, from this past weekend, I don't think I was moved one way or the other. I think Iowa looks as tough as I expected them to be. Close game with USC. They've got a little bit more offensive ingenuity now than they usually do, but it's not by far. I mean, they can pass, but it's not going to be their strength.
They can pass.
But they're going to be tough. They're going to be tough. Penn State, again, you know, did what they needed to do against Michigan State to pick up their first victory in Big Ten play. So I think it's going to be tough either way. These are two pretty good opponents, but I don't think I was moved one way or the other this weekend based on the results.
I would have felt better if Penn State just kept losing. The more they lose, the better I feel. But you know, Michigan State's also not great. All right. So Matt Rhule's press conference said they spent a lot of the, as we know, down in Buford, Georgia, following up with Dayton and other guys down there. They're trying to recruit. Okay, Matt Rhule said they spent a lot of this week recruiting. So the media presence is helping a lot in recruiting. Did he just compliment the media? Is that allowed? Matt Rhule's good to the media. College football coaches in general are kind of up and down. I do think we may have our guy on the line here, but until I get official confirmation, I'm going to proceed here. All right, media. All right, talked about that. He shouted out two Nebraska high school / junior college coaches. Like, relationships. All right, we got our guy on the line, so we're going to come back to that. At this time, I want to bring on our special guest of the day. He's a Nebraska Football Hall of Famer. He wore glorious number 90 as well. He's academic All-American, Mr. Scott Strasburger of Sagewell Orthopedics. How you doing, Doc?
Hey, guys. I'm doing great. Great to be with you today.
Yeah, I appreciate you joining me. So, obviously, at this time of the year, guys get banged up. Guys are kind of out for the year, but we're kind of curious to learn, you know, a little bit more from the inside, kind of how these things work, how recovery works, timetable for coming back works, and how it maybe projects to next year. You look at a guy like Dylan Raiola is obviously out for the year, but a broken fibula. Yeah. I think there was an ankle sprain involved in there as well, but he had surgery to fix this. What can you tell people a little bit more when it comes to doing surgery on something like this? And I mean, is this something you'd expect him to be full go by spring potentially?
Oh, absolutely. Ankles are susceptible to all different types of injuries. We can have injuries to the bones, injuries to the ligaments, combinations. And a lot of that is dependable on the mechanism of injury. You know, what position the foot is in when it was injured, how the foot was moved abnormally when it was injured. And that kind of determines how the ankle's injured and what gets injured. And like someone like Dylan's particular case, where the foot was planted on the field, unfortunately, this can create more of a twisting injury than a kind of a rolling your ankle injury or an inversion type injury. And that can create injuries to both the bones and the ligaments and the ankle. And you know, the ligament that we often hear about, you know, the average fan anymore, everyone knows what a high ankle sprain is. And those high ankle sprains can be associated with fractures. And when they are, you have to address both issues. You have to fix the bone and you have to fix the ligament.
Now, is there any chance, I guess, like people would probably want to know too, you know, post-surgery, is there a higher chance of re-injuring the fibula, or is that pretty much back to new?
You know, with this type of injury, it would take another, you know, football puts the body in unusual positions, and some injuries are just unavoidable, and that's, you know, was this particular case. You know, you get the foot in the wrong position, you put a bunch of force across it and it's going to fail. But most of these injuries, especially given the surgical techniques that we have available to us now, we can repair those and they can be, you know, near as good as new.
So I'm going to ask you this. All right. You're a guy who tackled a lot of people in your day in college, because I got asked this question a lot afterwards, the whole hip drop tackle thing. When you watched that, did you think it was a hip drop tackle? Did you think it was a dirty tackle at all? Was it just a football play? What was your take on that?
You have 300-pound guys coming in full speed, being hit by 300-pound guys trying to stop them. Things happen. No, I did not believe that it was a cheap shot. You know, this is a violent, tough game, and we're going out of our ways to protect these guys. But even given those circumstances, things happen. So was this a cheap shot or something really unavoidable? No, it was not.
That was my takeaway as well, but I wanted to get your feedback on that. So we've had a few other guys that are going to be out for the season, but you look at a guy like Teddy Prochazka. This is a guy I've been on the record all season saying I'm rooting for this guy. I've had 6 knee surgeries. I know what it's like to have multiple knee surgeries. I tried to come back. I failed. He had 3 major season-ending knee surgeries. He came back. He was playing. He was starting. He was doing a lot of good things. Unfortunately, tears the ACL. He's out for the year, probably done, but we'll see what his future holds. My question for you is, like, let's say I have no injuries and I tear my right ACL. Now, I've been told by other people that you're more likely to actually hurt the opposite leg or the ACL in the other leg when you do something like that. Is that accurate? Is that crazy? What's your take on that?
That's absolutely what statistics show us, that the other knee is more susceptible to that. There's a lot of reasons that could be the possibility, but statistically that does happen. People like Teddy tear their ACLs for a lot of different reasons. You know, we're all made differently. Genetics is a big part of what injuries we may and may not be susceptible to. And Teddy was made a little bit different than some of us. Sometimes kids with a little bit of excessive laxity have a much smaller window where they can get injured. So, again, this is a violent sport. Injuries happen. We deal with them when we have to. But in Teddy's case, it would be wise for him to take a serious look at his future. You know, there are a lot of other things that we want Teddy to be able to do going forward in his life besides play football.
Jake has a question, but I got a real quick question. You said laxity. What does that mean?
Well, we're all born with a little bit of different laxity. The material makeup of our bodies is different, and collagen is a very important part of that, and we all have different varying degrees of collagen in our body. So some of us may have, you've seen kids, you've seen blonde-haired, blue-eyed women who can point their elbows and their fingers. You've seen kids who can voluntarily dislocate their shoulder. So we're all born with a little bit of difference in our laxity. Some people with a lot of natural laxity obviously have a much lower threshold to having an injury. A small injury in someone with natural laxity can make them very susceptible to having symptoms from this. And some people with very little laxity can have a significant injury and do much better. So genetics is an important part of this process.
Another injury I wanted to ask you about, of course, maybe the play of the year was made by Malcolm Hartsog early this year against Cincinnati, but was not able to return. Decided to redshirt after getting some surgery to repair a muscle core injury. What is a muscle core injury?
I have the same question.
Yeah. Muscles are a really unique structure in the body, and it is difficult to repair muscle to muscle, if next to impossible. So when you hear of injuries like this, you're usually hearing about the tendinous portion of the muscle pulling off of a ligament or pulling off of a bone. Those are repairable, but the muscle-to-muscle injury has a very poor healing response.
Why do? Because certain parts of the body have, like maybe the knee itself doesn't get a ton of blood flow to it, but like big muscles like the quads get a ton of blood flow, so they'll heal faster. What is it that makes certain parts of the body, as far as you know, get less blood flow versus other parts of the body, as far as healing as well?
Well, muscles, in order to function, have to have a good blood supply. You have to be able to bring food and oxygen to the muscle. And in order to do that, you have to have blood. Blood is what provides that. The tendons and the bones don't require that type of energy or blood flow in order to function during athletics. So the body was essentially built how it needs to be built. If something needs to have lots of energy in order to participate in sports, it's hypervascular. The bones and the tendons don't change much, so they're very monotonous. So therefore, they don't need a great blood supply. Therefore, when they do get injured, sometimes they do heal a little bit more slowly.
So a guy like Gunnar Gatula, who is unfortunately out for the season as well, it wasn't an ACL that he had. It was a knee injury. Sounds like cartilage, meniscus. He had a surgery to fix it. What can you tell us about, as far as what you know, about a timetable for a return from a surgery like that? Is spring on the table? Because I believe he missed spring last year as well. This is a guy who needs to get as many reps as possible, just trying to improve and get better. Or is it a little bit more longer term for something like that?
Well, it's interesting you guys bringing that up. A lot of these recoveries are totally dependent on the blood supply to the area. And the meniscus is one of those areas in the body that have a very limited blood supply. Part of the surgery is actually to create increased blood flow to the area. There's some biologics and other techniques that we can utilize to help promote that. But ligament repairs, ligament healing, tendon repairs, tendon healing, meniscal repairs, and meniscal healing all have very limited blood supplies, therefore take a much longer predictable time to heal because of that.
So I've heard of, I forget which body part, it might have been my ankle, because I was having a hard time with the cartilage in the front of my ankle. It wouldn't bend properly. And they talked about going in there and maybe drilling some holes. I forget if it was in the bone or the cartilage or whatever. But is that something that, am I remembering that correctly at all? Is that even possible? And is that something that's done frequently to try to increase blood flow?
Well, you had an injury to your ankle. And when you have injuries to the ankle and the ankle bends abnormally, sometimes bones that were not meant to contact each other hit each other. And that can actually bruise or kill the bone. And when it bruises, it can lose its blood supply and die. The bone doesn't need a lot of blood, but it needs some blood supply. So when that does occur, we can go in and drill holes in that down into healthy bone, and we can get what we call vascular channels or bleeding that follows that hole up into the dead bone and revascularize that and allow it to heal.
All right,
you did a good job of understanding your injury.
I appreciate that. Well, I was like, what, you're going to drill holes to help me heal faster? I'm like, I'm sorry, you got to help me out with that. And thanks. I was in St. Louis. So it was years ago. So Jake, next time you're not feeling good, I'm going to come at you and I'm going to drill some holes. How's that sound? All right. I appreciate you taking the time. That was Mr. Dr. Scott Strasburger, Sagewell Orthopedics. Thanks for taking the time to join us, Doc. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.